So Sicario means hitman in Spanish.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Sicario.
Thanks for picking me up there, dude.
Yeah. Hitman of my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know when you got the notion. Said I'd like to know when you got the notion to rock the boat.
I don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
I don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
I don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
Episode 37.
The Kevin Smith episode.
Hey, all right, Kevin Smith.
37 that... dicks. Oh, God. In a row?
In a row? Right on, dude. I thought you had it covered. I didn't.
I found a sports star, too. And because we're in Canada and it's Toronto Blue Jay Mania.
It is.
Number 37, Dave Steeb. The best ever nice. Toronto picture of all time.
He had the mustache, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dave Steeb.
Yeah, Dave Steeb pitched a no-hitter for the Jays and was a major right. all-star guy. Yeah. He was the man.
He was.
Too bad I'm a Red Sox fan.
That's right.
So fuck the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Yeah, Blue Jays fans are about as bad as BC-based Seahawks fans. They're fans when they have a shot at going past the first round.
But yep. I hate bandwagon fans, man. Yeah,
they're shit.
Yep.
Anyway, we're here to talk about movies and stuff. So, what have you been up to, man? We just finished festival season. You've got a few days under your belt of the real world.
Yeah, I'm still really tired and feeling shitty. How about you?
Put me right in there, man.
Yeah, no, I just, I've been sitting at home watching sports, more or less.
Right on.
Playing some Rock Band 4. Nice. Finally got Rock Band 4.
Nice.
Took me a week to find it. Sold out everywhere here.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I finally got it this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I'm really rusty. Not very good anymore.
Right on.
Used to be really good.
You'll get it back.
I will.
So your Packers are off to an awesome start.
Yeah.
What are they, 5-0?
5-0.
Insane.
Yeah. It's looking good this year, man.
That's cool.
The D is really strong.
They are really good.
Yeah. So, last year it was all Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And they can stop people now. And yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah. That was the big thing. He always had to score a lot of points.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's cool. Yeah,
even when they didn't really look terribly good this weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. They still scored 24 points.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy.
How about them Cowboys?
Cowboys, man. They're down everybody.
Yeah. Right you got that... that fucking waste of a human being, Greg Hardy, back, though.
Yeah, and he made a huge difference on defense.
Yeah, I know. He's a shithead, though.
He is a shithead. It's hard to root for the guy because he's such a shithead. He was suspended for 4 games. He was supposed to be out, like, the whole season, wasn't he?
Yep.
He's a badass mofo. And it's really hard to root for that guy because he's kicking ass and taking names, but... he's a bad guy.
Yeah. You guys still lost, though, didn't you?
Still lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, man? Your team is gone.
Yeah. There's no Tony Romo, no Dez Bryant. Sean Lee was down for a game.
It's
pretty sure he's playing through something.
It's ugly.
Yeah. They have 2 wins in their division, though, so they still have a good chance of making playoffs if they can kick ass once Romo's back.
Yeah. Yeah. What can I say?
Yeah.
Your footy team has a new coach, Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, that's right. I don't really know anything about him, but you were pretty...
Yeah, he was the coach of Borussia Dortmund.
Okay.
Who went to the Champions League final 2 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah, he's a really great coach.
Cool.
And he's a metalhead.
Oh, is he?
So I'm totally into that.
That's awesome.
And he is fiery.
Yeah.
He likes to yell a lot.
Nice.
So yeah, your team is not going to be slacking.
That's
right. Not under his watch.
Yeah.
And your Canucks are top of the league.
Yeah, they're beating Los Angeles right now. It is awesome.
But my Red Wings have played less games and are also kicking ass. We're undefeated.
Right on.
3-0. New coach, a little scary.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Man, you guys lost your coach, your heart and soul.
Yeah, lost Mike Babcock to Toronto, and we played Toronto first game and scored on the first shot. Nice. It was beautiful.
Right on, dude.
Fuck Mike Babcock. Anything else, man?
Not much. Like, I've been back from the festival thing for about a week and a half now. It's hard coming back off that high, man. It's like Jeremy Renner, Hurt Locker. Remember when he goes back to the real world, he doesn't even know how to pick cereal.
Take a cold shower, man.
That's right. Going to movies and only seeing like one movie that night.
I know. Crazy. I went to movies a couple of days ago and I only saw two.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, why am I not five deep at the end of the day? So yeah. Bit of that going on.
Five movies is for pussies. Six is where it's at.
That's right. Bill's a crazy man.
Bill's a crazy man.
Yeah. You got anything else?
That's it for me, man.
Cool. You ready to get into some rant action?
Hell yeah.
Cool. You want to kick it off for us?
Sure, why not? A couple episodes ago, I talked about The Hateful Eight. The only way you're going to be able to see that film on Christmas Day is in 70mm, which is really disappointing.
Yeah, that's right.
We get it 2 weeks later if you're watching it in DCP. Well, some more information came out today. The 70mm version of The Hateful Eight is going to be 12 minutes longer than the DCP version.
What? Are you serious?
What the fuck?
What?
So, wow. Your stupid antiquated film format that nobody can show anymore.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you're just like still just all over that nobody's going to be able to see. Like, it's like nobody can play 70mm anymore. It's really cool. I wish I could see it in 70mm, but I won't be able to. You're going to show 12 minutes more footage that nobody's going to see. And you have no explanation other than the fact that it's 70mm. Like, what the fuck?
That's brutal, man.
Yeah, I don't get it. Film lost. We all didn't want film to go away, but film lost. You're just shooting yourself in the foot. People are going to be pissed when they actually hear this.
Yeah.
It's 12 minutes.
That's unreal, man.
Yeah, that's like a director's cut.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, what the? That makes no sense to me. Fuck you, Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, man.
Fuck you.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, people in LA and New York, possibly Seattle if they play it in Cinerama, but that's Star Wars time. They're not going to play that.
No.
Fuck.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
That's annoying as hell.
So dude. Terrible.
That's so annoying. QT, you're killing me.
Yep.
All right. That's your rant?
That's my rant.
All right. My rant, coming off the tale of festival season. The tale
of festival season. That was good. I like that.
Yeah, you'll see why in a second here. Dog deaths in movies. For some reason, to some people it means, I has a sad, and now I hate this movie. F*** you. Dog deaths sometimes are necessary. We talked about one in our last episode. I won't say which movie it was, but it had some dog deaths in it that were very powerful and made sense within the realm of that movie. Now, if it's just gratuitous, gross, horror bullshit, yeah, that does suck. But if it makes sense in the movie, I have no problems with it. The dog isn't actually dying.
No, it's fake.
It's not your actual dog that dies. There are people that die in movies all the time. Are you going to be sad every time a grandpa dies because you have a grandpa? Probably not. And why is it that way for dogs?
If it advances the plot, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And it worked in that film, the one you were talking about.
Yeah.
It was a pivotal part of the film.
Oh, yeah. Without it.
It doesn't make sense.
A big f*** you to the people who go to Fantastic Fest, one of the most hardcore festivals you can go to in the world, and complain about dog deaths. You're just stupid. Rant over.
Well, yeah, what he said.
All right, been waiting a while to get that out of my system, man, because nobody there was having it.
Yeah, there's a lot of pussies at Fantastic Fest.
There is. It's crazy.
Heard some of them cry.
Oh, yeah. What's up with those pussies, man? None of that in my house. No. No crying. Except for me. Anyway, you ready to get into some main review action?
Sure.
All right, so I guess the first film we'll talk about is Robert Zemeckis' new film, The Walk.
And this is you?
Yes. It'll be the most glorious high wire walk in history.
And how high must this wire be to make so much glory?
Over 100 stories high.
All right, so The Walk. If anybody's seen Man on Wire, you know, beat for beat, this movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen Man on Wire, but I watched about 15 minutes of it. I was like, whoa, this is the exact movie.
So in 1974, Philippe Petit set up a high wire between the New York City World Trade Center two towers and walked back and forth four times. That's really just maybe the most ballsy thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, dude, you are the man.
That's crazy.
So I looked it up because I didn't know the answer to this. So I had to find out. The distance between the wire and the ground was 400 meters, which is 1,350 feet.
Oh, gross.
And the distance between the buildings was 200 feet, which is 61 meters.
Wow.
Dude!
Wow. Dude.
I hated this film, except for the last 20 minutes, which is maybe the best use of 3D I've ever seen in my entire life.
It is pretty good.
It works really well, to the point where I had to take my glasses off because I was going to puke.
Oh, really?
But, like, literally, I almost caught it in my throat, and I, like, pushed it back down and took my glasses off, put my head between my legs because I was done. Like, this movie is, that 3D is really effective.
Yeah, you really feel the depth in that one, for sure.
It's just the rest of the film is absolute dog shit.
It is so generic.
Yeah.
So bland. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I really wish they would have hired a French guy or just get him to not do the French accent.
No, the French accent ruined the film.
The whole time, I'm just trying to take him seriously, and I couldn't. And he looked weird in this film, too.
Yeah, he looked like he did in Looper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, his Bruce Willis makeup.
Yeah.
It was really strange. And he has this thing you mentioned earlier. He does this stupid breaking the fourth wall.
Visual voiceover kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's sitting on top of, like, Statue of Liberty. Talking to the audience, telling us his story, and it's a decision that is absolutely stupid.
Yeah, you don't really care at all.
Every time I went back to that, I was just removed even further from this film. Weird thing is, I really enjoyed the finale. Like you said, last 15, 20 minutes. It's like a heist movie. It's thrilling, and you're watching him do this walk, and it's amazing. And I was just holding my breath, and...
But yeah, it's like my worst nightmare. Height. I'm afraid of heights.
Right.
I'm deathly afraid of heights.
Right.
Like, you saw me on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
I was not good. I walk over a bridge and I start to get a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple scenes in this film that wrecked me. There's a scene where he's walking across the wire and it pans straight down.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, no
way. Oh, it works really well. You know, kudos crazy. To them, but
yeah,
if you have a problem with heights, not your film. I almost wish there could be, like, something that said, watch the final 30 minutes for, like, $5.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the rest of it's garbage. Garbage.
Garbage. I will say this one thing that I wrote in my notes, outside of The Walk is cool, rest of it sucks.
End of story.
End of story.
It's a 5-minute podcast.
That's right. Here's a guy we've talked about a lot in the past, James Badgedale. He's a guy who should be in every movie as a supporting character of some sort.
He's good.
He's super cool.
Yeah. Remember James Badgedale in Flight?
Yeah, he was amazing.
And how amazing he was in that film?
Showed up for what, like 5 minutes?
And stole the film.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so... Yeah, The Walk. You really don't need to rush out to see this, and nobody did.
No, it died really bad, which is funny because it took all the IMAX screens away from The Martian, which is hilarious.
Yeah,
The Martian's making a ton of bank, and The Walk died.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Cook your vegetables in it. Don't go see the film.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you get that? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I did. The carrots are cooked.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love walks, man. They're good.
Yeah. All right.
I got nothing else to say other than that last 20 minutes, this film's garbage.
Yeah, that's really all that needs to be said about the film.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. That is
quick and dirty, man. I don't care about that film. Don't go and see it.
Don't see it.
Don't give me your money.
All right. Ready for something else?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Ridley Scott's latest film, The Martian.
I got to figure out a way to grow 3 years' worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows. Luckily, I'm a botanist.
All right, so The Martian, why don't you lay it down for us? Give us a bit of a premise. What's this film all about?
So after a giant storm, a scientist is stranded on Mars after his team leaves him. They think he's dead. And he has to survive on an incredibly hostile planet, mostly with his smarts and knowledge and ingenuity.
Yeah.
Matt Damon in the lead, carrying this film.
Matt Damon.
I'd never really even heard of this book until maybe 2 months ago.
Same here.
But I heard it's like a super popular book.
It is, yeah.
And I heard the story behind it. It sounds really cool. And I heard the book is way more scientific.
It is. I did read the book, and it is like a heavy procedural. They get way more into the specifics. I'm glad they took a lot of shortcuts in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So instead of it being this total scientific slog, it's pretty much one of the most entertaining Hollywood films of the year.
Oh, yeah. It is super watchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw this one early.
You did.
And yeah. I was really, really high on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still really high on it.
Nice.
And I don't think you're as high on it as I am.
I'm not as high on it as you. I'll tell you why. Like, I'll get some of the good stuff out of the way first. Like,
okay.
Matt Damon, he's perfectly cast as the lead actor. Mark Watney is his name, the character.
Yeah.
He's got charisma. He's funny. He's charming. Tugs the heartstrings when he needs to. He's an easy guy to root for. And the supporting cast is outstanding. Like, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chewy.
Chewy. That's right. Yeah. He shows up and just classes the hell out of this film. Like, he's got a thing where he talks about the different ways you could say, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" And just, it's just him just acting the hell out of that role. I really like Jeff Daniels. I thought he was really good in this. Basically, everybody was pretty good.
Do you enjoy how Michael Peña shows up in every film and is like a total scene thief?
He is. Yeah. He is great.
Love Michael Peña.
Peña is awesome.
Super underrated guy.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's getting big work now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's kind of not a lot of people will marvel at the idea that he was in Ant-Man, but I think that's great because he's a great actor.
Speaking of that, another guy on the ships, Sebastian Stan, played the Winter Soldier
in the
Captain America movie.
Okay.
So we got a little bit of a Marvel thing going on there.
That's cool. I didn't notice that.
Oh, and Jessica Chastain was there too.
Yeah, Jessica Chastain. And that leads perfectly into one of the complaints I had about the film. The cast is so big, and it's inevitable that some of them will get lost in the mix. Kate Mara's in the film, and she just doesn't... I felt like her role could have been played by anybody else because she has so few lines. She's very effective in what she does. But again, I thought there was too many characters in the movie. And Kristen Wiig is a person I'm rooting for because she did Welcome to Me, which is just an outstanding, like, one person show, her just kicking ass.
She was in this really fucked up film at VIFF called Nasty Baby.
Okay.
Oof.
Nice. Keep an eye out for that.
It's a piece of work.
And in The Martian, she's just kind of there to give you reaction shots in the background. And Donald Glover has a small role in this film.
Oh, but he was funny.
I don't know. He was kind of funny.
I thought he was great.
I thought he was kind of funny, but he didn't Glover enough for me.
Did he sing and strip at the same time?
No, he didn't do that.
Oh, come on.
There was no Magic Mike XXL in this. I just thought, like, it felt like acting to me when he was on screen. It didn't feel natural. which I don't know if he needed Dan Harmon there to be weird around him or something, but I enjoy his stuff. I enjoyed him on Community the few seasons that I did watch, but I thought he got lost in the mix in there. A lot of people feel way differently, though.
I do.
Yeah.
I thought everything you pretty much said there, I don't really agree with, but it's cool. Yeah.
And for the sake of the time that passes in this film, I couldn't find a number of how long there was between the first scene and the last scene. Was it about 2 years? 2.5, maybe 3?
Yeah, pretty much. I had a problem with this stuff, man. I just thought it was... I just let it wash over me. It's a sweet film, man.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just... I don't know, like, the time that... The shortcuts they took and the time... I didn't feel like Watney was that in that much danger. It just felt like he was just chilling on Mars kind of thing.
Oh, he was put in danger.
He was.
I know, but...
I just didn't feel it.
Really? Yeah. I totally did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely think I like this film more than you.
You did.
I think it's one of the best films of the year.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. What? Dropping the gauntlet. Let's go.
I think you're crazy if you think it's one of the best. But I think it's a fine film. Like, the musical choices, perfect. A lot of cool musical cues. A lot of people thought it was weird that disco is in there, but that was a big part of the narrative.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was a big part of the narrative in the book, so they had to... And it was a great choice.
I had a funny conversation with somebody a couple days ago. I talked about how I don't like the Oscars at all. And they're like, I saw The Martian a couple days ago, and that film is going to win Best Picture.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, no, probably not.
Definitely not.
It's a really good film, and I love it. But he's like, no, man. It's going to win because Argo won.
You know, it's funny you mention that, because it felt like Argo to me a little bit, in that it's like an audience pleaser.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that?
Totally.
That's what feels weird about it.
Yeah.
But I definitely thought of Argo while I was watching it.
Yeah, but Argo had a little bit more behind it. I think this one's not good enough to win Best Picture, but I don't think Argo was good enough to win Best Picture either. Yeah,
no, definitely.
It's interesting. Yeah. You're not the only person that I've talked to that didn't think it was quite as good as I thought it was.
Yeah.
As I said before, got to support good sci-fi and you got to support good horror. So I'm going to tell everybody in the world to go see The Martian.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it and have been recommending it to people because it's so watchable. It is so entertaining. I watched it twice, so I went by myself the first time. And I had to take Sarah because I was like, you're going to love this film. And she enjoyed it. I enjoyed it even more a second time. I probably sound a little down on it. I'm maybe being just a little critical on a few things. It is... an easy recommendation. It is so much fun to watch.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to watch it again. I just haven't got to it. I was busy.
Yeah. You've got to watch it in D-Box, Holmes.
No. I will not be watching it in the douche box.
Douche box. We finally got D-Box here in Victoria, BC. And I watched The Martian in D-Box. And it was awesome. The seats shake, man.
Fuck
off. There's explosions. It shakes.
Fuck off.
When the shuttle takes off, it's like you're in the shuttle, man.
How much more is it?
I think tickets are $22.50.
Wow.
I use points to see it for
that
free
is
in D-Box.
So stupid.
Yeah, I would never pay money for that. But for points, I'll gladly use my points to see it.
Wow. No, I never.
Did you have anything else for The Martian?
No, man. As I said, I think it's one of the most entertaining films of the year.
Nice. Right on. Yeah, it's awesome. It's a really cool film. So check out The Martian. Go support it.
Cool.
All right. Our final main review of the day is for badass mofo Denis Villeneuve's latest film, Sicario.
Every day across that border, people are killed with his blessing. To find him would be like discovering a vaccine. Nothing will make sense to your American ears.
But in the end, you will understand.
All right, so Sicario, why don't you lay it down for us? What's this film all about?
First off, the trailer to this film is really misleading. So I don't really want to tell you too much about it because there's a definite difference in the film.
Yeah.
But we'll just say a FBI drug agent is thrown into the fire of the U.S.-Mexico drug war where nothing really is what it seems. It's just kind of not good.
Yeah. Things are fucked up.
Really screwed up.
Yeah.
As I said, the trailer is really misleading, and right off the top, the first like 5 minutes of the film, the first 5 minutes of the film might be one of the cooler 5 minutes of film I've seen this year.
Yeah, outstanding
just
stuff.
Something happens in that first 5 minutes, and my jaw is just on the ground, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm just going to start bowing to Denis Villeneuve, because you are the man.
He's the master, dude.
My God, is he good.
Yeah. Yeah, he just builds so much tension in this film. We'll get more into that.
Well, so yeah, Denis Villeneuve is pretty much one of the top 10 directors working today.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
His body of work, there's not a flaw in it. Mm-hmm. And this is just another, this is a great addition to the catalog. The thing I really enjoy about it is it's super adult. And it's super serious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is just some nasty stuff. And it feels really real.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is. Like, this is the stuff is not, this stuff is happening.
Yeah. You see it in the headlines, see it on the news. And he doesn't slow down to hold your hand.
No.
Or comfort you at all.
No. That's not Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah. He's just like, come with me on this adventure and be destroyed by it.
Yeah. It's beautiful in its violence. I love that. I love a really good adult film, and this is a really good adult film. Like, there's no like whitewashing this one. It is brutal.
Yeah.
And you know, Emily Blunt is quote unquote the star.
Yeah.
She's really not.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is more or less the Benicio del Toro show.
It is,
and he is unreal.
Yeah.
He's you know, he doesn't work enough. He is really super underrated.
Yeah.
And you know, Emily Blunt's in the movie, but Josh Brolin shows up too.
Yeah.
And playing another asshole Josh Brolin role.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's perfect for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell anybody about this film.
Yeah.
Like, there's a legit difference in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And you need to not know anything.
Yeah.
What, I like the idea of going in clean on this one.
Yeah. And that's what it felt like for me. I didn't know any buzz going into it because I've been in festival land. So. Where only the festival exists. But yeah, going into this, I saw the trailer maybe twice. And yeah, like you said, you're pitched a movie in the trailer. And it gives you something else completely different. And thank goodness for that. Because this movie, man, there's not a thing I could pick out that I disliked about it. It was just so raw. Just tension filled. And I felt like I was holding my breath the entire time. And I'm just white-knuckling it through the whole film. It's great.
It's pretty much the standard issue for Denis Villeneuve films.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been an unreal ride with him. And there was a bit where it looked like he was using the same color palette he used for Enemy with a yellow kind of urine tinge. And it kind of takes you back to that world that he built in Enemy.
Yeah, I'm going to use the piss filter today.
Yeah, that's right. Piss filter. Because this is a dark, dark movie that's gross. And you're just... But it really feels like he's making a statement with this film. You know, he's calling attention to an elephant in the room and just throwing a middle finger to the world.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Another Denis Villeneuve film that just doesn't give a fuck.
That's right. Truly.
He's making Blade Runner 2.
Yeah,
I know. How screwed up is that? Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you haven't seen any of his other films, you might want to get on that.
Yeah.
You know, not just Enemy, but, you know, Incendie and Maelstrom, a really amazing film from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the shit, man.
Right on.
Yeah, I love Denis Villeneuve.
Have you seen Polytechnique?
I have.
I haven't seen that, but...
Speaking of really, really hard films to watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a doozy.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I don't know if I recommend it just because it's so hard to watch.
Yeah.
You know, you want to watch a bunch of college girls get gunned down?
Oh, shit.
That's your film.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's That's really harsh, crazy. But it's shot in black and white.
Okay.
And it's beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Except for people are getting shot.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's crazy. Don't know if I recommend that one.
Yeah. But yeah, this one is just, for me, this solidifies to me that he's one of the top filmmakers going today. And he really needs to be in the name of more people who talk about the best. The best of the best. He is, certainly deserves that recognition. So yeah, anytime I hear his name now, I'm just like, fuck yeah, sign me up.
Is this one of your favorite films of the year?
It's going to be up there. Nice. I haven't had a chance to evaluate that. But as I was thinking about it, I was like, man, if I can't think of anything to pick on, if there's nothing I didn't like in the film, that's about as close to perfect as you can get.
Yeah.
And that automatically makes it one of my top films.
Right on, man.
So I think it's going to be up there for me.
I love how it's picked up movie-wise for us.
Totally. We had a rough spot in the summertime.
We've done a couple movies here that we're both really high on, and that's just hasn't been happening lately. Yeah. That's really nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, go see the Hell of a Sicario.
Yeah, go see it. It is an easy recommendation. But just have somebody to hug afterwards. It's a tough watch.
Yeah. I saw it during the film festival at a press screening. Okay. And I was just, maybe I was already like super desensitized to shit, but I didn't find this that harsh.
Oh man. I was devastated just because of everything you go through while watching the film. And, maybe I'm blind to that part of the world. But a lot of that stuff shocked me and just kicked my ass.
Nice.
So, yeah. Mission accomplished.
That's probably what he was trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
And good on him.
Yeah, for sure.
So, everybody go see Sicario.
Yeah, go see it.
Yeah. That's it for me, man.
Cool. Yeah, same here. On to a lighter fare. Let's talk about this episode's movie club choice, brought to you by Bill Harris. Sick fuck, Bill Harris chose a Serbian film.
A Serbian film.
For a movie club. And I watched a Serbian film late at night the other night.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. What a fucked up movie, man.
I was pretty specific in my warnings, I think.
Yeah, you said, even if you stop watching it, I don't blame you. And I was like, yeah, I kept that in mind the whole time. But I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to watch it all the way through.
So, yeah, a Serbian film directed by, goddamn, this name, Srđan Spasojević in 2010. Yeah, maybe one of the more filthy films I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen them all.
Oh, yeah.
Which made it perfect for Adrian to watch.
Hell yeah. Oh.
So a retired porn star who's running out of money is recruited to star in a new kind of porno film. You know, one that most people might find a little gross and maybe not very sane.
Yeah.
And lots of really weird shit happens. Adrian said he was watching it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of know the film, and I'm like, oh, he should probably be at that part by about now.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But if,
I think we can talk spoilers in this one.
Really?
It's been out.
It's 5 years.
It's been out 5 years. The version we have that you bought from overseas
is very uncut.
It's imported.
It's from Sweden.
Yeah, it's from Sweden, and it's hard to get to.
Yeah.
People may not even get a chance to see this one.
It's a really nasty film, but I think it's good. And to just dismiss it for being gross, I think it's stupidity.
I think that's very dismissive. Yeah.
I think it's really well made, and everything kind of has a point, even if it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a rare thing in a horror film to me.
Yeah.
Did you actually like the film?
I think I did. My buddy, Rob Hunter, sent me a message right before it started. He was like, prepare to watch the most hilarious movie you'll ever see. And I was just like, what?
Nice.
What a sicko. And it took me a long time to get into the dark humor that's in this film.
Oh yeah, it's there.
And just to give you an idea, if we're not going to completely spoil it for you, there is basically, once the film really gets going, once it gets into the filming of the film within the film, cocks are going into every hole you can imagine. It goes into people's mouths.
Eyes.
Their eyes. Ass. Their pussy. Everything. There's humiliation. There's rape. There's...
The two really big things about this film are two words that you're not going to associate with a lot of films. Pedophilia and necrophilia.
Yeah, yeah. And you see it all.
Yeah.
It is... what kept me going in this film was reminding myself that I'm watching a piece of fiction. I hope, well, it's probably not. It's all the shit's probably happened at some point. Has happened. But the thing is, like, some of the bodies that were in the film did look very fake.
Yeah.
And I think that's by design, just to remind you, you're just watching a film. It would have been pretty gross if they went more realistic with those bodies that they violate in the most disgusting way possible.
My whole idea about this film is, like, to me, people on the internet and society in general nowadays want more of everything. And that's what this movie is to me, just like an answer to that. Just eventually... The internet's going to come to shit like this. Like, you know, last month, some dude filmed himself killing two reporters on the internet.
That's true, yeah.
That's a Serbian film.
Yeah. Wow, I never thought of that.
Like, the whole idea of the film to me is just everything's got to be one-upped.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is. This porno guy is just trying to go next level.
Yeah, yeah.
And that shit's happening real, like, right now.
Yeah.
And it's gross. It's a really nasty film.
It is.
I'm super glad you watched it.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't think you were going to make it all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I even if I didn't tell myself I need to watch all the way through, I think it would have been just fine. But I wasn't just fine. I did not sleep that night. I'll tell you a funny story that I haven't told you yet. I wanted to save it for the podcast.
Nice.
So I watched the film and felt very ill. I had a very bad stomach ache.
Possibly it was sorry.
My dinner. Possibly it was my dinner. It was probably the movie. Played video games, did some writing, and I was still not feeling well. I forgot what time it was. It was like 4 in the morning.
First off, what were you doing watching this film at like 1 in the morning? Yeah.
Yeah. With the way my schedule worked out, I had to do it.
Nice.
If I wanted to watch it in time for the recording. So I watched it, felt sick, played video games, didn't feel better. So I was like, I'll go get some ginger ale. So I went out, hopped in my car, started driving. And I won't get into the details, but I don't feel comfortable going to this one 7-Eleven store because of something I did that's very embarrassing, very shameful. I basically had a very vocal disagreement with the employees of 7-Eleven.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. And anyway, I was like, I'm not going to go to that one. I'll go to the other one. As I was at the intersection, I had my left signal turn on. I was like, ah, fuck it. The one I don't want to go to is closer. I'll just go there. So I had to put my right signal turn on. As this was happening, I'm at the intersection and I see a car go by. Don't think much of it. So I go down there. And I did the way I went, I did have to go to a roundabout way to get there. And as I was driving, I saw a police car behind me. And then the lights went on. I was like, what the fuck? And he's got the lights on for me. I got pulled over. And the guy's like, so it's a pretty weird time for you to be out and about right now, don't you think? I was like, well, yeah, I'm just going to 7-Eleven, get a drink. He's like, yeah, but It's like 4:30 in the morning. He's like, are you going off to meet somebody? I think he thought maybe I was a drug dealer.
Nice.
He never said it.
Don't they have to have a reason to pull you over? Like, what the fuck is that?
I asked him. I said, what did I do? Did I fail to signal? Was I speeding? Was I causing a disturbance? He's like, oh, it's just a little odd that you're out and about and took the path you took. And I think maybe when I was at the intersection, he thought maybe when I saw him, I went the other way.
What?
That's the only thing I can think of.
Jesus, go eat a donut, you fuck.
Which may have been a coincidence. But yeah, it was really weird. And of course, I just finished watching a fucking Serbian film. So my head's already screwed up. I've got this police officer who was, he was very respectful. He wasn't like being an authoritative asshole to me. He was very kind. I just answered his questions when he asked me. And then he was like, he took my driver's license, went and checked it out, and came back a few minutes later. He's like, you're squeaky clean. You can go.
I was like, Jesus.
So, right after watching a Serbian film, I went through that weird thing.
Nice.
And then went and got my ginger ale and slept for about 2 hours.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, that was my experience with a Serbian film.
So, yeah, you got the uncut Blu-ray.
That's right.
Some stats for you. It's available on Blu-ray in the U.S. It's missing 4.5 minutes. The U.S. theatrical prints, which were rated NC-17, were missing 6 minutes. This one's, yeah, the full Monty.
Oh, yeah.
And shocked you finished it, man. Congratulations.
Oh, no, thanks, man.
You passed the test.
All right.
I apologize. The next one is nicer.
Oh, and this is the end of the movie club. I'm just kidding.
No, I... if you, yeah. I thought it might be, actually.
No, man, no. It's all good. It's one that's been on my radar, meant to... It's one of those films where you really dare yourself to watch it. And I had to psych myself up a bit to see it.
Nice. Was it as harsh as you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, it was way up there. Maybe even harsher.
Whoa.
Because I knew all the beats, like,
yeah,
from people telling me about it. Oh, this happens and this happens. But I think it was more acceptable to me once I sort of got the humor of the film. Because cool. It there is, tiny spoiler, there are these guys who get mixed up with the lead actor and these henchmen come and kill them. To protect the guy. Right after they kill the guy, one guy goes to unbutton the guy's pants, the dead guy, and unzip his pants. And his boss is like, no, man, let's go. Like, no time for that. It's like he's about to rape his corpse. And it would have made total sense in that movie. But when that happened, I started laughing. I was like, okay, this is a comedy. They're just having fun.
I love how it sounds like I'm a complete sick fuck for liking this film.
Yeah, yeah, it seems that way because I did glance over some reviews and a lot of people are just like, this movie's fucking gross. I hate this movie. Rob Hunter loved it. I wouldn't say I love it, but I'm definitely glad it exists.
Did Sarah watch it?
No.
Okay.
I'm glad she didn't watch it.
Yeah. Because she's like a horror junkie, so I thought she might be into it. But
She doesn't like needles, though.
She's I don't like them either.
Deathly afraid of... Whenever she sees syringes, even if it's on a movie, she can't handle it.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks for watching it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the Serbian film.
I'm an asshole.
That's right.
So, we're continuing the Halloween theme. We're going for Dead Alive, which is not like a cannibal film.
Yeah.
It's actually Peter Jackson's third film.
Okay, cool.
Before that, he made Bad Taste and Meet the Feebles. And he was making really low-budget horror films. There you go.
Sweet.
Dead Alive.
All right.
Yeah, it's from 1992. It's got really awesome practical effects in it.
Cool.
That I'm pretty sure Peter Jackson himself did.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, and you'll never look at the lawnmower the same.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. Yeah, I can't wait. I haven't seen like any of his early stuff. So.
Super fun movie.
Check it out.
Hope you enjoy it.
Thanks, man. Okay, so you have until the last week of October to watch this film. So we'll say October 25th. Want to join us, watch Dead Alive. Give us your comments. You can throw us a message on Twitter or Facebook. And we'll share it with the rest of the listeners on the next episode.
Hopefully people have access to the DVD because the Blu-ray is out of print and it's like $200 on Amazon.
Oh shit.
I was like, I should maybe get the Blu-ray because like, I kind of enjoy the film, and I looked it up and I was like, holy crap.
Oh man. Yeah. Out of print Blu-rays.
Stupid.
Sucks, man.
Yeah.
Dead Alive. Next film. Okay. So we're ready to move on to our next section of the episode, the lightning round, where we just briefly talk about other movies we've seen in between the last episode. I'm going to just briefly mention two movies I saw at Fantastic Fest that'll be out shortly after or during the release of this episode. And we'll probably review them in the next episode. Crimson Peak is Guillermo del Toro's latest film. I liked it and disliked it. I'm somewhere in the middle on that. I think a lot of people at Fantastic Fest are smoking something because I saw somebody call it a masterpiece.
Wow. It was
far from that. It's an okay movie. Much like Sicario, the marketing team markets a far different film, and it's quite a weird surprise. So, yeah, take that for what you will. We'll review it on the next episode. I wasn't a big fan, and I was in the very small minority of Fantastic Fest.
I'm looking forward to it.
Right on, dude.
Yeah, looks good.
Bone Tomahawk. It's a closing night film at Fantastic Fest. On IMDb, it says it's coming out pretty soon, but I don't see it anywhere on Box Office Mojo. This is a film that is very boring, very lame, until the finale. And that is a cinema sin, if you ask me. If it wasn't for Kurt Russell, this would be straight to VOD. So yeah, that's my brief thoughts on those two movies.
Warming endorsement.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like the opposite of The Walk.
That's right. Yeah, it's like The Walk, but not as good.
Yeah. Okay, my lightning round starts off with a film I've been waiting for a very long time. The Green Inferno.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
Eli Roth's new cannibal film, which I actually quite liked. Other than one really stupid scene in the film that kind of takes you completely out of the film, it's actually a pretty fun little watch, but nobody watched it.
Yeah, it was in theaters for like a week.
Yeah, because you wanted to see it, but it already left.
Yeah, it was gone by the time I got home.
Like, what the fuck? Support good horror, people. The new Johnny Toe film, Office, which I think was a Fantastic Fest?
It was. I missed it, though.
It's fucking terrible.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard enough of that where I was like, I'm not going to waste my time.
Yeah, it opened theatrically in Canada. Like,
oh, it did?
Before Fantastic Fest.
Oh, wow.
And I saw it in Vancouver. Johnny Toe is usually known for making like mob films. This is like a romance musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, never do that again, dude. That movie blew.
Yeah.
Enough of that. Pawn Sacrifice.
Oh, how was this?
I liked it. I'm the only person who did, though.
Oh, really?
So take that with a grain of salt, because I'm weird. Tobey Maguire as Bobby Fischer, the chess champion who went mental. And starring a amazing Liev Schreiber.
Oh, cool. I love him.
He is so good in this film. He plays Boris Spatsky, the big rival of Bobby Fischer.
Oh, cool.
And he plays it like he's a rock star.
Oh, nice.
And it's hilarious.
Nice.
I didn't really know too much about Bobby Fischer. I'd seen a documentary, but I thought this was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's really watchable.
Cool.
I am the only person that thinks that.
Right on.
Yeah. He Named Me Malala.
Ooh, this one had all kinds of stink on it.
Oh, how man, this is a really bad documentary.
Oh, damn.
It's a really good idea. Like, she is amazing. It's not really that well made of a documentary.
Yeah.
Read her book instead. She has, like, a really popular book, and she won, like, the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, wow.
Then they made a really shitty documentary.
Oh, that's
too bad. I feel really bad saying that, because it's, like, a great idea and everything, but it's terrible. Just don't like shit. That's what this is.
Uh-huh.
Saw Goodnight Mommy again for the third time.
Sweet.
Yeah, theatrically.
Nice.
Saw a press screening last week. It's finally opening in Canada.
That's right.
That movie's the tits, man.
It's sweet.
I love that film.
Yeah.
It's so funny, too, because that film kind of destroyed the Vancouver press people.
Oh, really?
I don't think they really knew what that film was.
Yeah.
Then they watched it, and they were just horrified.
Nice.
I loved it.
It is fucked up, dude.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Freeheld. Okay. Julianne Moore and Ellen Page. Julianne Moore is a cop who's in a lesbian relationship with Ellen Page. Julianne Moore's character is dying, but she can't transfer her pension to the Ellen Page character because of stupid rules.
Right.
It's, you know, got to be man and wife, not wife and wife.
Yeah.
And it's all about them fighting for the rights to transfer the benefits to her wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really amazing story. It's not a very good movie.
Yeah, I've heard that.
The performances are really good. Julianne Moore and Ellen Page are really great. And Steve Carell's really good in it.
Yeah.
It's just not a very good movie.
Well, that's too bad.
It sucks because you want people to watch it because it's like a really important thing. But it's not a very good movie.
That's too bad.
The 99 Homes with Andrew Garfield and Michael Shannon.
Oh, right.
About the housing collapse.
Yeah.
When, you know, the market completely dropped and banks were screwing people out of houses.
Yeah.
Michael Shannon plays the guy who screws people out of houses.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen the trailer for this. How was it?
It's really good.
Oh, cool.
Both Garfield and Shannon are really, really great in it.
Right on.
And Ramin Brahmi, who the director is makes really good films.
Cool.
Check that one out. It's opened here, so it should be around. I saw this one last week a little early. Sleeping with Other People. Starring Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie.
Okay.
It's a very light romantic comedy.
Yeah.
About best friends who, you know, can't be together because it will screw their relationship up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the friend zone. It's a decent little film. They're both really good.
Right on.
Alison Brie is, she's in my dreams.
Nice.
She's a beauty. she's really good. Sudeikis is underrated, too. He's got good comedic timing.
He's good. I like him, yeah.
It's not bad. It's a really cool documentary called Nintendo Quest.
Okay, what's this?
This guy decides that he's going to try to collect every NES game in 30 days.
What?
The NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System from the 80s, had 634 games or something like that.
Yeah.
And some of them were really rare.
Wow.
And cost a lot of money. We're talking a sealed copy of this game called Stadium Events, $70,000.
What? Oh, wow.
He goes on this quest to get all these Nintendo games, and it's really compelling.
Wow.
Yeah, some of these games are impossible to find. I really liked it. It's not not the best made documentary I've ever seen. That shit's like a fastball down the middle for me. Like, I play video games.
Oh, yeah.
You played the NES.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 It's good stuff.
Cool.
And last but definitely least, Pan.
Ooh.
I'm not even going to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's everything you've heard. It's an absolute disaster.
Hugh Jackman leads the entire cast in a round of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Pretty much.
Oh, I listened to a bit of that on YouTube.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this?
Joe Wright, you should be ashamed of yourself, sir.
Oh, man.
Absolutely terrible.
Brutal.
And the really funny thing is they wanted this to be like a big franchise.
Oh, shit.
It's very apparent at the end of the film.
Wow.
It made no money.
Yeah.
And it costs a lot of money. They're saying it's going to lose $150 million.
Jeez.
So,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the worst films of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely terrible.
Glad I skipped it. I heard enough of the don't go see this movie where I was like, I'm not going to see it. And you're like, I'm going to see it for the podcast. And I'm like, you're a crazy man.
Yeah, I am definitely a crazy man.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that movie sucks. Absolutely.
Bill does it for you, the listeners. It's for you.
I'm so stupid.
It's all good, man. Cool. So, yeah, that wraps it up for the lightning round. Why don't you tell our listeners what we're going to talk about next episode?
So, opening on October 16th, the new Steven Spielberg film with Tom Hanks, Bridge of Spies.
Yeah, those guys, hell yeah, sign me up.
Heard somebody, it's already played the New York Film Festival, and I heard the words Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, I love that movie.
So do I.
Yeah.
And I heard it's a nice little yarn, so I'm good with that. I really want to see that.
Cool.
It's Spielberg.
Yeah, man.
Even if it's stupid, it's going to look good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The already mentioned Crimson Peak, I'm all over that.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, can't wait. You seem very lukewarm on it, so I'm going to reserve my judgment till next episode.
Yeah.
And there's a couple movies opening limited that I think everybody wants to see. The Assassin from Hao Xiaoshen, which I heard is terrible.
Yeah.
So you might want to not see that.
Yeah, I've heard everything in between that and Masterpiece.
It played at both the film festivals we were at, and we both didn't see it.
That's right.
I didn't see it because I just couldn't. My schedule didn't work.
Yeah.
I would have seen it.
Yeah.
But it just couldn't work.
Yeah.
I don't care. I heard it's terrible.
Yeah.
So Beasts of No Nation.
Yeah. What's this all about?
Okay, so Netflix owns this film, and they're playing it in a limited form for 2 weeks to qualify it for Oscar. Then it's going on Netflix.
Wicked.
So we're going to get it on Netflix for free, more or less.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Idris Elba. It's a big, big Oscar film. Supposedly it's very brutal.
Wow.
But yeah, that's awesome. We got this huge film on Netflix and don't have to wait for it to open here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Good for them.
And Room opens.
Oh, man.
Limited.
Can't wait for that.
It's last week of October here.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's great.
Right.
Can't wait for that. Do you for you to see that? October 23rd, Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah.
Let's destroy my childhood some more.
Yeah.
Don't care. Looks terrible.
It does.
Yeah. I don't even know what that film is. I've seen the cartoon. It's nothing like the cartoon.
Yeah.
Ugh. The Last Witch Hunter.
Yes, Vin Diesel. This looks awesome, dude.
I hope it's good. Isn't his partner a witch, though?
I think so.
Like, what the fuck?
He's the last witch hunter.
He hunts witches, except for his partner.
Yeah, that's right. Elijah Wood's a priest.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to see it. I hope it's dumb and stupid and everybody but me likes it.
He has a flaming sword.
I fucking hate stupid action films. Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension.
I'm so happy this was not at Fantastic Fest.
And everybody, it's in the third dimension.
Finally we get some answers.
Yeah, we get 3D for an extra $3.
Yeah.
And it looks really bad.
Cash grab.
Yeah, the last couple have been really bad. This one, I think, was made like 2 years ago.
Oh, it was.
And it's been super delayed.
Yeah.
It's supposed to open in October last year.
Yeah.
Nah.
Crazy.
I'll probably see it.
It's like Area 51 all over again.
Let's just add to the pile of shitty horror films this year. Right.
Yeah.
And Steve Jobs opens wide.
That I can't wait for.
Yeah. Michael Fassbender, Kate Winslet, Danny Boyle, and that Aaron Sorkin guy.
Yeah, Sorkin, man.
Yeah, write some good dialogue.
He's the best.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
Cool.
That's it. That's next Take episode, it. Man.
That sounds awesome, dude. Thanks for looking those up.
Okay. Well, hopefully we lead it off with Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, that wraps it up for the show. I guess we should tell people where they can find us online. So you're on Twitter, right?
I am on Twitter at SoundJam69. I got a bunch more followers at VIF.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right on, dude.
I think I added 10 more.
Nice.
I think the Green Screen of Death Twitter account has more followers than I do.
Oh, okay.
As it should, though. I don't really care about Twitter.
That's right. Yeah, Bill's not the kind of guy who will go out there and tell you what the cheeseburger you just ate.
No, I'm good.
That's right. Oh, go ahead.
I'll tell you who the man of the match in the Man U game was.
That's right. He will every single time without fail. So, and the show has a Twitter account. It's at @green_screen. We're also on Facebook. Run a search, The Green Screen of Death. Find us. Hit like. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for liking Facebook. The Green Screen of Death page.
Please tell me your parents don't listen.
No, I don't think they
do.
Oh,
good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also on Twitter. You can find me at @Adrian_Charlie. It's the most reliable place to find me. And we're also on a bunch of platforms online. You can find us on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Hit subscribe, throw us a rating and a comment. That'll help us out a lot. So yeah, I guess that's it. Episode, 37?
Yeah.
37 in the books, man.
Hopefully we're a little bit more rested next episode.
Yeah, we're definitely feeling that festival fatigue. Man, it is a tough time.
First world problems, man.
That is.
We choose this shit.
I had to watch 32 films in 8 days. Oh.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in any 8 day span, Bill's watching, what, 48 films, 50 films?
Pretty much.
Cool, man. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We'll catch up with you next time.
Peace.